loads of us were at the School of the Prophetic yesterday. It was a great day, and having Rebecca King and Steve Cummins lead us, really training us in the prophetic, our second School of the Prophetic, it was wonderful. And I was about to say we were stuffed, but actually that's not a very good way of saying it. We had loads of meat. It was just a powerful day, and of God encounters as well. So it's wonderful to have you guys with us again to speak to us and to minister to us. I'm going to hand the microphone to you, and I'm just ask you to put your hands together and give a warm Billericay stroke. Essex, welcome to Rebecca and Stephen.
I don't need that.
You don't need it.
Well, Stephen might need it in a while. Never know. How about back here? But first, I think it was the second song, or maybe the third. You sang three, right? The Lord began to speak to me about misplaced hope. So I just wanted, I got some words of knowledge here I want to talk about. And I felt that there's people here today that have been struggling with misplaced hope. And of course, the message that we've been hearing since our early morning prayer here has been about the steadfast love of the Lord, which never ceases, and how his mercies are new every day. And that came after much heartbreak and stuff in the life of Jeremiah. And so this morning, I just want to say that word, misplaced hope, or those two words, out to you, because I feel that at some point during this meeting today, God's going to touch that in your life. Now, misplaced hope is when we've put our trust in something other than the love of God, or the steadfast love of God, and we've built sort of an altar to something else. So, for just to give you a practical example, I heard someone talking recently about how he had relied on his job for his paycheck, and he had relied on the work he did to provide enough money for him, and it all fell through, and he went on a journey with God, and what the Lord showed him was that you have misplaced trust. You have put your trust in your work providing all of your finance, whereas really I am your provider. And so God wanted to shift his misplaced trust from the wrong place into the right place. That's just one example. But that kind of thing can go on in every area of our lives. So that's the first thing. I felt like there's people here today that have that going on in their lives right now. Secondly, I think it was the second song. The words were, "You give hope, and you restore every heart that is broken." So it's the law of averages. There are people in here today with broken hearts. That's just a given. And you don't have to have had a big trauma in your life to have a broken heart. Some little thing can have happened, and you were connected in some significant way to something, and that connection is suddenly gone, and your heart is broken. Or it can be because of a big tragedy. Or it can be even you're saying goodbye to something and hello to something new. Your heart is still broken. When we leave, I remember going away to boarding school in the UK, and my family lived in Kenya. And I would always hide my tears until I got through the gates and all that kind of stuff, so no one would see that actually I hated going to boarding school and my heart was broken over it. And you know, I'd have my little sorrow moments when no one could see me. That's a type of broken heart as well, you know. So it, again, these things touch every area of our life, so you can't just say, "Oh, that's not me," because sometimes it is. And I think during our talk today, God might uncover some areas where your heart actually is carrying brokenness, and he wants to come and pour his presence into those exact cracks and those areas and do some healing in you. And then the third thing, I began to experience a real dizziness during the service, and I was like, "What is this?" And I felt the Lord say, "There's people here who are feeling off balance and they're in transition." And it's actually, you know, he was alerting to me to me to it by making me, allowing me to feel this incredible dizziness. And actually, I look back in my life, and where there's been seasons of really big transitions, and God has moved me not only physically, but in the spiritual realm. And in the spiritual realm, I've not known where to put my feet. It's like, I don't know where to land. I know you've moved me and I've left this place, but I'm not here yet. And I'm dizzy. You know, I'm off balance. I'm dizzy in the natural and I'm dizzy in the spiritual. And there's people here who have that going on as well. And that can also be over big events or just a time in your life when God is changing things. You know, like he's growing you. So every once in a while you outgrow the place where he has you. And that requires then shift and change. And once you've outgrown that, then you have to come to a new place and you suddenly don't fit. It's like in school when you go from primary school to middle school. So you were top of the ladder in your primary school, but suddenly you're in middle school and you're on the lowest rung socially. And you don't know how to act. You don't know how to place yourself. You don't know how to prepare your feet, and it throws you off balance in your whole life. So God wants to come and touch that in people's lives as well today. And at some point, we'll pray about those things. I'm just not sure where. I want to be careful to do things in the right order. But for those of you who don't know me, my name is Rebecca King. I come from Folkestone, and I've been here, I think this is my third time. So I love it because it's beginning to feel like I'm getting to build into you guys. You know, you come somewhere and then it's like, is this a blessing or a building place? You know, like, and you need to know from the Lord what's going on. But when you get invited back, and then the third time you get invited back, whoa, thank you, Jesus, I get to build. So yesterday was about building in the prophetic, and because that's my role, my gifting is apostolic prophetic, and I'm a builder. So I'm a trainer and an equipper, and there's no greater joy for me to see you guys step into what God has for you, especially prophets. That's my passion. And seeing you as prophets, and there are more of you than you think there are, understand who you are, know how you function, know what your calling is, know what your metron is, your sphere of influence, know how you fit together within the context of the church, know how and where you fit outside of the church, because not all people are churchy prophets, thankfully. And so that's my whole heart and passion, is to see that happen in your lives and to see you grow and change and enjoy what God is actually doing with you instead of having it just all be difficult. And believe me, if you have the call of a prophet on your life, and it is a hard, hard journey to get from point A, the point where you're called, to the point, the place where God eventually wants you. And that journey is called process, and it's process that I want to talk a little bit about this morning. Because we live in such a culture that is not embracing process well. And the church is not doing it well either, but we are going to do it much better. I really believe that we're coming into a season, and I've been saying this for the last year already, that in the next 10 years, the things that you need to have operating in your life more than anything are wisdom and discernment. Because those are the things that will take you through process well and keep you from giving up as you travel along with Jesus. So if we're honest, all of us, and I'm asking us to be honest right now and look inwardly or look at our own lives, we actually want everything now, right? We all want it now. We want it to happen now. We try when we're together as Christians to pretend that we don't. You know, the Lord is teaching me that everything takes time. But really, we want it now. You know, and so we tell each other, yeah, I'm learning, you know, but actually we're kicking against that whole thing of having things to take time. And we don't dare to be real with each other about that kind of thing. By our actions, we show what we really value. So me, I want the latest thing on my phone. you know, and I'll maneuver things around and see if I can get out of my contract by not paying too much, because I want the latest thing now. You know, and the latest thing for me was, and I'm just telling you my story because that's how we learn. But the latest thing for me was that I could take photographs underwater with my iPhone without ruining it. And I did not want to wait for that. But I found out that I had to wait like 2 months. So it was, you'll laugh if you're not a gadget person. But for me, I am a gadget person. And I had to choose to wait because I didn't want to pay the penalty of getting that, you know, thing early. And that's just how we're wired. And my actions showed everyone around me that I'm one of those people that want everything now. And even though I talk about process and I understand it, I'm still, after all these years, someone who is always looking at the angles, seeing if I can get something in a much quicker and much more easy way than maybe what God wants me to do. So we're all like that, most of us, and I want to talk about that. And it's very important for you people who are wired prophetically that you understand about process. And of course, it's important for everyone, but especially for prophets. Can I make this just a little lower? Okay, just give me a minute here. There. anyway. So, as prophets, it's really, really important. When God calls us, or even, you know, whatever your sphere is in the body of Christ, when God calls you, he gives you a purpose. So he said to me, Rebecca, this is who you're created to be, and this is what I've called you. I've called you to be a prophet, and a prophet to the nations. I've called you to teach up and to train up and, you know, that whole stuff. But I had no clue what he was talking about. So that was like almost 40 years ago. I was in my 20s, now I'm in my 60s, and now I go, oh. But I've been through 40 years of process. And that doesn't mean that I wasn't effective when in my earlier days I was. In fact, I prophesied much more than I do now when I was a young prophetess, or, you know, a young emerging prophet. And because that's what I thought a prophet did. I thought that if you were a prophet, that was your job, to prophesy. And I had no idea that it was just a tiny bit of being a prophet. I didn't know that there were many different types of prophets, and I didn't know what kind of prophet really I was, and I definitely didn't know that I had to have things happen and change in my life to get there. And I was in for a huge surprise. And when I look back now, after 40 years, I can be so thankful for every single really difficult lesson that I've had to learn. And that has been my process. And process becomes your story. I remember one time I was in Vacaville at a prophetic school. It's a place in California. And up until this point, we had had quite a few meetings already, and they had had a young worship team leading the worship. And it was great. It was incredible. They were full of life, and they were singing the latest songs. And, you know, we felt energized. We were ready to take on the world. And then one night, Chris Vallotton's wife, who is in her 60s as well, she got up and she led worship. And I thought my heart would stop. And the difference was that journey in between, from the younger to the older. So it didn't mean that it was better. It meant that it was different. There was an authority, because this woman has gone through incredible process in her life. And there was power, there was life in both expressions. But this woman who had lived the life, who had learned the steadfast love of the Lord, not just something to quote, but actual it had come alive in her. It changed everything with what she carried. So process is actually something to be loved and embraced from the very beginning. And I look back and I wish that some older prophet had told me that. I wish someone had said, this is how it's going to be, and this is how you're going to grow, and this is what's going to lead you to be able to change nations or speak to nations. This is what's going to change your heart so that I can trust you with my word. This is process is what's going to take the things in you that want to be famous and that want to be there right away. This is what's going to take all of that stuff that distracts from belonging to Jesus away. And so I wish I had that and I didn't. So it's one of my messages that I talk a lot about is this journey that we all need to be on. We all need to be on it. We can't walk away from it. And you can go into the scriptures. You can look at the life of Abraham. You can look at the life of Joseph. You can look at into their characters. You can look at the things that they needed to learn and how that was the process in their journey to become the people that we still learn from today and that we still talk about. They weren't flashes in the pan kind people. They were walking in the strong, strong, steady, faithful love of God throughout their mistakes, throughout their questions, throughout their long journeys, throughout all the injustices, all of those things. God was there and he was doing something in their lives and building something into them. So what I want for prophets in this nation is to find their own voice. And the way you find your own voice is to walk with God, find out who you are in him and walk with God through the process so that Britain can again release the British word, like what he has deposited in you, to the rest of the world. And that we are no longer echoes of systems or other nations, that we stand in our own calling and we do the work so that we get there and we do it in our own British way. And don't get confused by my accent. I am British. But we do it in our own British way and we're powerful and effective to our own nation once again. And then God will take us to other nations of the world. So we have to stop with the pushing away of all the difficulties that are actually good for us and begin to embrace what God has designed from the beginning. And that's this sacred process, this sacred journey that's full of wisdom and full of hope and full of life and full of it has a creative power to create in us what he has wanted from the very, very beginning for us. The charismatic church, I am sorry, hasn't been good at this either, you know, because we've pushed away things like suffering and, you know, and we have, this is what victory looks like. And no, God never intended you to suffer. And, you know, like all of these things we've pushed away and we think we don't have to endure those in our lives. We're entitled and we're a people with shallow roots. And God is shifting things in our lives and changing things because he won't have it anymore. And actually, I believe that there are people even in this room who've been crying out to God for something different and want that deep, deep, deep walk with him that actually changes us. And deep actually sometimes means deep and difficult. Sometimes it means the other, you know, like we're called to be joyful and to carry joy, and that's important, but we also need to give place to the flip side of that. Otherwise, we will never become healthy and will never be approachable. Don't people who have all the answers drive you crazy? They drive me completely nuts. They never used to, and that's because I thought I had all the answers. I'm a prophet, and so I have the answers, and Jesus is the answer, and blah, 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 on I would go, and you know what? I do not have all the answers. I believe there are answers for some things, and I believe there are not answers for some things. My thinking has changed from dualistic to a much healthier thought pattern, and I'm able to hold opposites in my hands and still know that God is faithful, still know that He will not leave me, He will not abandon me, He loves me from before the foundation of the earth. I'm chosen in Him. I'm called to do this, this, and this. I'm called to be this. But there's this, and there's this, and I don't get it, and it's okay. Because I'm at that place in my process. And I know that I'm on a journey. And I'm on a journey with God. I'm not alone. I'm on a journey with other people. And they've actually given me a grace to explore things. As you grow in process, God gives you grace to give yourself and to give other people so that we can grow together and discover together. My answers aren't necessarily going to be your answers. And I want you to find your own answers. I need to find my own answers, because then it's my bread and no one can take my answer away, because it comes out of my relationship with the living God and the journey that we're on together. Process is so, so very important. And I remember when I was here last time, I talked about uprooting. And God shaking off the dirt and pulling up a plant. And I think over the time that we've been apart, God has actually done that in a lot of our lives. And He's shaken off the dirt. And now we've come in, I was sharing a bit of this yesterday, to a season of replanting. And yesterday I could see that He had this, it was like a pot of soil. And you know how you make a hole in the middle to put a new plant in? I felt like the Lord has made space in the pot and He's planting. He's planting something new and He's replanting people. And you can't bring with you to the new plant what He's shaken off, that He's taken the time shaking off your roots. He's planting you in a new pot, in a new place, and there's something new. And you can't expect the next journey in the process that you're on to be the same as it was before. And so you can't go back and try and bring what you had before that worked there into today's place. You have to let it go. You have to let that dizziness happen, and you have to find that new place to put your feet if you're going to go on with God. And that some of those things are traditions. You talked about traditions, and yeah, traditions are great, but it's actually a God in this nation. Traditions and certainties, and God is going to shake this nation. He's already begun to shake some of the things that we value as traditional. After all, we're British, and this is the way it is. And He's shaking that up, and He's going to do that in the church as well. And I'm not talking about the traditional church. I'm talking about this kind of church. And we've prided ourselves in not being traditional, but actually we have many things that are traditional, like eating at Weatherstone's. But that one we can keep. You know, like we just can't hold on to things that were that way yesterday. It's God that gets to be the same yesterday and today. It's Him. But we get to change, to be continually transformed into who He is and in His image. Not in the image of a church, especially if you're prophetic. You belong to a group of people. You must live in community. But if you want to carry the word of the Lord to people and to the world, you have your highest allegiance is to God. And so your process will be a constant shaking, 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 shaking off of attachments where you think, oh, of misplaced hope. They're going to give me a break, this church. Or they're going to provide my financial need. Or this particular denomination, this is where it's at. No, actually, my hope is in God. And I will speak until we're free from the fear of man. We can love one another and we can belong to one another, but we'll never walk in truth, and God will never be able to trust us with what He really truly has to say to people, because we'll be too afraid of rejection. And prophets have tons of rejection, believe me. Rejection and abandonment, those are our little things that we keep tucked away, and we don't like them, and so we're very vulnerable as people to what people think of us. And you wouldn't believe what we go through to get people to just say, oh, that was really good. And, you belong to us. But then there's the Lord saying, actually, you held on to that just a little tightly. So I'm going to lift you up and shake it out. And I'm going to make sure that you're still mine and you don't belong so tightly to that. Your allegiance belongs to God. And actually, that touches every gifting. No matter, touches us all as Christians, that our allegiance is to the Most High. And not just in words, but in our actions, in everything we say and we do. So the journey is what it is. And the one thing we don't want to lose is hope. And that's probably the thing that gets attacked the most in our lives as we go through process, is this business of hope. When life gets difficult, we begin to question the promise of God. We begin to question what he's said over us. And sometimes we get words given to us that talk about, God, I'm going to place you in a family and this and this. And then that all breaks down. And we question, well, where's your promise? Where's your faithfulness? What about this? What about that? And that's okay to have those questions. So if you know people who are like that, don't try and get rid of their questions. Let them wrestle it through. That's the best thing that can happen. And that's what's missing from so many of our lives, is that we don't like this thing of the wrestle. We just want the answer. And we don't want to wrestle it through to find our answer. We want someone to give us an answer, or we want to watch a show on TV that will inspire us suddenly and change our lives to become a better whatever it is we're going after. But we don't want to have to wrestle it through. We don't want to have our own thinking about things. We're scared our thinking might not line up with the pastor's thinking. And then, are they still going to love me, or am I going to be in trouble again? And so wrestling has become a dangerous thing and something we've tried to ignore. But really, it's the best thing that can happen to us as we go through process. And wrestling will actually get us to where we need to go, because we come up with answers that work for us and work for God, work for our relationship. And it's between us and God. It's our bread, and no one can take it from us. So I think the most famous verses in the Bible about process are in Philippians. So let's look at that. In Philippians chapter 3, it says this. It's verse 12. Not that I've already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make my own because Christ Jesus, to make it my own, but because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I've made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call in God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if in anything we think otherwise, God will reveal it to us. Only let us hold true to what we've attained. So those are verses that describe process. They describe it as a race. And when we don't stay in the race, when we remove ourselves in any way just to either protect ourselves or to make us feel safe, or just, I've just decided it's too hard, I'm going to sit on the pew and be a pew warmer. When we remove ourselves from the race in any way, we become people who are no longer living life at the edge. We're not cutting edge people, and we're not coming to the cliff edge where we're ready to take a leap into the new things that are presented to us. And it's a very dangerous place to be. We have to recognize that today the race has changed, the pace is changing. Even when we talk about the church is changing, right? Very, very quickly. And it's changing because all these ox-faced prophets are coming to the front. You had to be there yesterday. These ox-faced prophets are coming to the front. They're the activists, and they're saying, that doesn't make sense to me. And so I'm not going to just do things the way you've done it forever and ever and ever. We see it differently, and this is how we see it, and this is what we want. So they're changing the face of the church, and they're pulling on us older stick in the mud, saying that, you know, come, if we're going to take this forward, but we need you and we need the wisdom you carry to come with us. But some people don't like that kind of process. So you get what happened to me. I remember when I was in my 30s, I remember being a young leader and a young speaker and speaking at events and doing things, and then these old ladies would sit at the back. So this is no commentary, of course, on anyone here. These old ladies would sit at the back, and in my heart, I would be, come with me and help me and talk to me and give me your wisdom. But no, they would sit at the back and criticize everything we tried to do. Now, granted, I am sure that what we did needed criticism many times because we didn't know. We were really young. But you remove yourself from the cut, from the edge of the cliff when you have that kind of attitude. And you remove yourself from the journey and the process that not only God wants you on with other people, but you hold the church back too. You hold the church back from transitioning, from going on a good journey with God. So attitude means everything. We need to check our attitude continually when we're in a place of process. It's so important. All the time, whenever you hear a speaker saying something that you don't like and you get this reaction inside, oh my gosh, I have to check my attitude again. Because it's usually not that person that's wrong. It's just that it's touching something in you that's quite similar and you don't want to have to work on it, but the speaker is bringing it to light. So attitude, it's very, very, very important. So we need to be people who, when God says, okay, we're moving now and we're going on a new journey and the process is going to get a little sticky and a little more tough, we need to be a people who are ready to move. We have to live like that. We have to be committed to the finishing line. We have to be committed to the goal. My father is 96 years old, and he loves to tell me the story when he was 73, sitting in Cheriton Baptist Church. And this old person next to him, who was like 70, said to my father, who was, you know, working on his, I think he was 76, it must have been, yeah. And he was working on something electronic that he had in his hands. And that old person, who was younger than my father, said, oh, I can't be doing with that computer stuff. It's, you know, too difficult and I'm just too old to change. What must my father? And now my father now has like two computers and two iPads and a smartphone and you name it. An electronic doorbell with, we have a computer hanging by the door so we can see exactly on the tablet who's at the door. And any kind of gadget that's new, he just finds an excuse that he needs it. But that kind of attitude has kept him on the cliff edge and kept him advancing. I still know people back in Canada who are happy with their cassette tape because it still works for them. So why buy something new? Why go in a new direction when the cassette tape still works? Good heavens, bless you. See how easily we can remove ourselves from process. Back in the good old days, we didn't need all this nonsense. You know, by the way, now I have a phone that can take photographs underwater. See, because I'm wired like my dad, you know. But the point is that we have this thinking that if we don't need it, then it's not going to help us. Or this is still working, and so it's okay to stay where we are. With God, it is never okay to stay where we are. We weren't designed to stay put. We're designed to grow. We're designed to interact with a very quickly changing world. This whole idea of being separate from the world has crippled us because we've been taught wrongly to disengage with people around us. And God is moving us and shifting us in his incredible process and making us a kind of people that are no longer irrelevant to people around us, but who know our desperate need of the love of God and his steadfast faithfulness and him to walk with us step by step every day and to change us so that our roots go deep. to change us so that we're willing to find good answers, to pick our brains up at the door where we left them when we came to church. Start thinking for ourselves. Start studying for ourselves, not always just reading the latest book and so-and-so the famous person said that. Well, what has God said to you? That holds as much value, if not more, for you than Joe famous person. Except, of course, if it's me talking. Then, no. You need to have and work on your own process with God. It is so important. It is so important of speaking out of your own relationship with God and your own language, and learn to reject the lingo of certain movements. That when people listen to you, all they do is think about that movement. They don't think about Jesus. It is really tiring to listen to that. And process will get us away from that kind of lifestyle. And process brings us to maturity, right? And those who are mature know that love is the be-all and end-all of everything. In the book of Matthew, it talks about those who are mature being marked by love. So very often when we're immature, we're marked by answers and solutions that we think we have for all the world's ills. Right and wrong. This is wrong. God can't love you because you're doing sins. What I think are sins. But maturity loves. Maturity doesn't have time to point the finger. It does have time to dispense wisdom and to seek wisdom continually. We're called to seek wisdom. But the highest thing is love. And what never fails is the love of God. The deep, deeply drenching, satisfying, unchallengeable, is that a word? Love of God. It never fails and it never ever runs out. And it trumps everything. Please excuse the use of that word. But I don't know a better one. It trumps everything. All our answers, all our questions, love wins. It really does. It takes away my need to be right about everything. It takes away my need to give you an answer when you tell me what you're struggling with. Because I don't have them. Sometimes I do, but I'm certainly no longer feeling that because of who I am, I need to give you an answer. But I do need to challenge you to walk with God, to journey with God and wrestle things through and find your answer. We're afraid of the wrestle. But process requires wrestle. So you can look at the life of Esau and Jacob. And he knew he needed to reconcile with his brother. But he wanted to do it in his way, and he tried it in his way, and it didn't work, and so he ended up wrestling with the angel, right? And he came out of that wrestle with a limp, but he was able to become who he was meant to be and act out his Christian or his faith in doing the right thing and reconciling in a way that honored God and honored his family. But he limped, but it worked because he went through the wrestle. When we wrestle, our imperfections come to the surface. Our doubts come to the surface. We become incredibly vulnerable when we wrestle with God. And we ask him the tough questions and we get cross and like, why is this happening? This isn't fair. When we wrestle, we learn about the heart of God. We learn about injustice. We learn about what it is to submit ourselves to the Most High, so that his purpose and intent can work its way into all of our being. And yeah, our humanity limps its way through that kind of thing. But we get through it and we do it in God's way. And then we have nothing to brag about except Jesus, except his faithfulness, except his love that never fails. And it, we have nothing because we know that we can now walk in integrity. We can actually be honest that it was God that has got me to the place where we are now. You know, like that's the journey. That's process. So it doesn't matter who you are or what you are called to do. You can avoid it, but God wants you not to avoid it. You will be healthier if you say yes to process. If you say yes to going on a journey with Him where He puts your answers and fix-it-up ideas into perspective and allow Him to do it His way through you. Now, I know from experience that that is easier to do in what Richard Rohr loves to call the second half of life. And I also know that in the first half of life, you need to have that ego-boosting kind of journey with God as well, because that has to do with Him establishing your identity. You need to find out who you are. You need to find out that you have importance. You need to have those kind of things established in your life to get you on the road and to keep you away from being filled with self-pity. And you know, you need to have those things when you're younger. But guess what? All of those things, which usually come to you not through a particular process, but just through growing up. Most of those things, when you get to this sort of middle point in your life, which is a different place for everyone, they all get smashed down. All of those things, they get wrecked. All of those things that worked for you all these years, God just untangles them all. And you go through this period in life where you think, ugh, what was all that about? Nothing works for me anymore. And that's where you have to wrestle. It's usually the biggest wrestle comes in that change of life, that from the first half of life into the second half of life. And in the second half of life is actually when then you can be who God has created you to be. But it's Him doing it through you. And all that other stuff has been dealt with, and you know, it's built the good stuff into you, but then all the other stuff that's attached to it, He removes, and you can actually be His person, which is incredibly freeing and very counterculture as far as the way we are in the world and the way we are in the church. So there's hope for all you people who are over 50. Think of it. We're just beginning, you know, and we're carrying something that we didn't have when we were younger. And so this business of disengaging because you're of a certain age, it's wrong. It's just wrong. We were designed to be a family, and we're designed to move forward together as family. People went places, even in Scripture, with their families, right? And God has always wanted that and longed for that. And each season of life can be good as long as we're walking along with God. But we need to have the really hard, difficult things. There needs to be suffering. We need the work that suffering does in our lives. It produces incredible fruit. But we've pushed it away. And when we see someone suffering, we're quick to give them answers. We're quick to quote scriptures. We're quick to do this and this and say this and this. And goodness me, stop. Go and get with the suffering person. Get beside the one who's having a difficult time in life and walk with them through it. Sometimes maybe you'll have something to say, but most of the time, it's not necessary. Most of the time, especially for us older people, we just need to come alongside and do life with people who are walking through hard times and let God be God in their life. And don't pray away actually something that God is doing. So my word to you today is basically, it doesn't all happen in an instant. So I can say to you, you're in a new season, and I see transplanting going on now. That whole business of being uprooted and moved, that's done with as far as here, and God's planting into you now new things, new people, new experiences, new ways, new ideas. New anointings, new callings, all of those things He's planting into you. But what is going to happen isn't going to happen in an instant. You have to be committed, to the long haul, to the goals, to what you have ahead of you. So now's the time to plan. You plant and you strategize together and you work together and you commit to helping one another walk through the process so that you can be a mature people, not flighty, not having all the answers, giving place for people beside us who we don't agree with, things that we don't understand, and the core of it all being the love of God. So very, very important. And it's been the theme through this whole weekend. Yesterday and today, our highest value has to be love. Love for God, love for each other, love for people that you don't want to love. But of course, you don't have anyone like that, right? Love for marginalized people groups. Love for people who we think are in terrible sin. You can always tell if you really love them or if someone really loves them. Is when they make a statement about a people group and then they qualify it. So they'll say, for example, using people who are in a homosexual lifestyle, they'll say, I just love them. But of course, I don't agree with anything that they do. That shows me, actually, you don't really love them. Because if you really love someone, it's not necessary to say that. God can take care of all that stuff. You're actually using the word love to exercise judgment and to distance yourself from people. Your life should display what you think is right or wrong. I used to know someone who would say from the pulpit, I really love my father. I've had to forgive him so much, but I love him anyway. Then I knew he didn't forgive him at all, and he didn't love him. So listen to yourself when you're talking, and when you're talking about those you love and those you don't love. You'll be surprised. I've been surprised many times about who I thought I loved, and that actually, obviously, I don't. Or we feel the need to quote those things like, we make statements like, I love the sinner, but I hate the sin. Like, what is that? We don't need to talk like that. We just need to love. And so that's the message. Things don't happen in an instant, but love is always there. Love is always the thread through every single thing. It's the golden thread, the scarlet thread, whatever you want to call it. It's the love of God. And it brings us through process and brings us into maturity. It brings us to be a people who are known by His name, not any other. That's really important.